recently I watched G.I. Joe the movie. And it's one of those movies that actually, at least to me, stands up, because that was like awesome to me. And I was just realizing, I never even thought about this as a kid, but wouldn't you say that Destro is black, even though he has like that face mask on? He seems like a black guy. He was black?
I think he was black.
He had to be, man.
Like, so like the thing that with me that like he had to be black. Like, he had that like badass attitude. He fucking had that cool, suave, like, I'm a motherfucking badass, like, you know, groove to him.
He had a pimp mane on, right?
He had that pimp mane on. He fucking kicked everybody's ass, you know? Like, I want to say the voice actor for him was black, but I'm not sure.
You know what really made me realize that he was black? Is that at first he had a silver mask, but then in the future G.I. Joes, it was gold. And I'm like, black guy, gold?
He pimped himself up?
Yeah. I mean, if he was around today, he'd probably have a diamond in his teeth or some shit, or a grill. That'd probably be going too far, huh?
to use an old Dave Chappelle thing, he'd probably put diamonds in all his food so he'd make his dookie twinkle.
Punching you with diamonds. He just renamed himself, his last name, Destro Diamonds.
Back with a new show deep in the basement. Professionalism turned off, screw the ad placement. Skit, comedy, trolling, plate full of dough. People get offended, you don't get the show.
And welcome to another You Don't Get the show that you either get it or you don't. I'm J. A. LaRock and I'm with my boy Randy. What's up?
What's up, Lion?
Man, it's weird because back in the day, you only had really two opportunities to get gifts, and that was like Christmas and your birthday. But like when you get older, like, on one hand, you might say to yourself that because of bills, responsibilities, and all that stuff, you don't buy a lot of gifts. But if you're a gamer, geek, whatever, man, you're buying stuff all the time. And I just noticed in the summertime, there's all types of sales. You got the Steam sale. They had the Amazon sale. I end up getting one of those Echo Dots. It's really bad because I end up talking to Alexa more than I talk to my friends or anyone else. So that just shows how much of a loser I am.
Be careful when saying that name. She might fucking respond to shit and put weird stuff on your damn wish list.
I remember I asked her if she's Skynet, and then she said she's not associated with Skynet, and I was like, wow, she actually knows what all that means, so that was like pretty cool.
Ask her if she's connected to the CIA, she'll probably shut off on your ass.
Be like, hey, are you giving information to the government? I'm sorry, I can't speak about that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But what's cool is that they always have this thing about Christmas in July. That used to be like a thing when they would try to get people to go to buy things at stores and stuff like that. But honestly, with all the stuff that you see on sale all the time, it's pretty much Christmas all year round.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the link that you sent me for the fucking Christmas gifts, and the one that they have, the Nintendo Wii in 2006, when they're fucking showing these news anchors doing the fucking Wii curling. It looks like they're jerking off.
Oh, yeah. That was a meme for a long time.
Oh my god.
So that's basically what this show is going to profile. It's going to profile different gifts that were popular going back to the 80s. And there's actually two lists that we have. We have one that comes from like the US and one comes from the UK. And we want to also see, not only are they similar, but is it stuff that we actually wanted at the time, or if we knew people that wanted it at the time. So this first list comes from PopSugar.com, which I just think is just a great name for a website. And the first one, 1983, was Cabbage Patch Kids, which I had no interest in Cabbage Patch Kids, but I do remember they were big. I know that. I remember the TV show.
I actually had one, believe it or not.
For what? What'd you do with it?
That was the thing. It's like it was one of those things. Like they were like really well made, which was really cool. But it was like that like phase where like I got one, and I don't know if it was more of like, hey, I wanted to have like the imaginary friend, but not like an invisible person type of a thing. Yeah. And it was funny because I probably like held on to it for about a year. And I remember like I was just like, eh, whatever, give it away. My mom's like, fuck that, I ain't giving this shit away. And she held on to it for a really long time. I don't think it was one of the original ones, but it was like when it was that craze. Like, it wouldn't have been one of those ones that if she would have kept it, it would have been worth like a ton of money. Because I know like the original ones were like fucking.
Oh, yeah. It was like when they're like the Beanie Babies before Beanie Babies.
Yeah. I remember that shit.
You remember My Buddy?
God, yes, I remember My Buddy. That was the. I'll never forget my. See, that was the thing is, I think. It was the, well, I mean, the Cabbage Patch thing was before My Buddy. But it was one of those things that I think, like, My Buddy did that whole, like, and I remember they came out, I think it was, like, a couple of years after, like, the huge Cabbage Patch Kids craze. I think they wanted to do that, like, cash in, like, hey, people are starting to just forget about Cabbage Patch Kids. Let's come out with another one. And then they had, like, My Buddy, and they had fucking Kid Sister.
Yep, Kid Sister, yeah. You know, it took him a while to come out with a black My Buddy, so it was kind of weird seeing, like, little black kids dragging along a white boy.
Yeah. Oh, white boy with red hair.
This is my brother. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, 1984, come on, man. I mean, you even mentioned that in the pre-show. Transformers?
Fuck,
Optimus Prime?
I remember, like, the other than getting Optimus Prime... the one Transformer I will never forget, and I can't fucking remember his name, and it was not Megatron, because this was, I never got a chance to get Megatron, because it was when that whole, like, if you remember that weird thing when they first came out with Megatron, that it was actually, like, the gun, and he would form into Megatron,
yeah.
And then they, like, pulled that shit off the shelves, and then it was like that, it was Megatron, but he transformed into something completely different. There was... One of the Transformers, I can't remember his name, and I only remember him because he only had like a single like light dot for his eye, and he would transform into a laser gun.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You remember which one I'm talking about? Like, he was purple, and it was cool because when he transformed into the laser gun, it had like this thing that attached to it, and it kept his two arms together, and that was the edge of the gun. And what was neat is what made him cool is I remember. When you shot him, one of his hands had like the little laser kind of edge thing, and it would glow like he was shooting.
Oh, shockwave.
Shockwave, yes. And when you would had the little plastic thing in the front of the gun and you would shoot it, it actually like put the light out from the gun, so it looked like you were shooting. And then it was neat because the butt of the gun, which like flipped up to be his ass, had like a little like targeting thing that would come up. And dude, I remember getting shockwave, and dude, I was like, what? But dude, like getting Transformers back in the '80s, that was like, you knew you were somebody or you did good. If like you unwrapped that present and it was fucking a Transformer.
And it was that die cast metal that you could actually beat the hell out of your friend if he tried to take it from you. So that was really good. I mean, it's funny. I remember when they came out with the cheaper plastic versions, I was like, what? Even back in the day when they had the Voltron figures, those were made of die-cast metal.
Oh, God,
those were huge,
metal.
Man. Those were weapons.
Fucking metal, the metal lions that fucking... And that was the thing is, like, I remember, now that you mentioned Voltron, like, I remember the fucking Tigers were, like, big in their own right? And then when you actually, like, formed Voltron, that motherfucker was, like, 4 feet tall and shit and, like, weighed 30 pounds because they were all metal.
Oh, yeah. And did you ever see the GoBots? I remember the TV show, and then I actually bought a GoBot. I'm like, what is this? This was like, it seemed like it would be the rejects. it was like the predecessors, the Transformers.
Well, I laughed at, like, the GoBots because I remember, like, as a kid, it was like, oh, cool. Like, I remember it was like the whole, like, oh, cool, another Transformers. Like, you watch the cartoon, you're like, wait a minute, this is Transformers. Like,
yeah,
I'm not right here.
And the leader was named Leader One. That was, yeah. I was like, okay.
And it was so funny because, like, more as an adult, like, looking back on that, it's like, damn, like, the people that made GoBots, like, you could tell they fucking were like, fuck it, these Transformers are going insane. We got to come out with our own fucking line. And that's why they did that. But I remember the biggest difference thing that I remember about, like, Transformers and GoBots, like, Transformers, they all had guns. GoBots, they actually blasted lasers out of their hands, if you remember that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that was funny about GoBots was that usually it was very simplistic. like transformations. Like it was like I think Leader One was like an airplane, and they had one guy that was like a submarine, and it was like real. You could tell like with Transformers, it got complicated. I remember they came out with like the six or eight different Transformer one, and it was like, man. But GoBarth was like two or three moves, and you had it. It was
I remember. Oh man, the leader of the bad guys. I can't even remember his name. He was like a motorcycle.
Oh man, let me see.
That was his transformation. Was a motorcycle, and I think the fucking leader of the good guys was the jet we were saying. But I remember like a lot of the GoBarth.
Oh, Psykill. Sykill.
Yeah, Psykill. The thing that I remember about, like you saying, about the GoBots, that it was, like, very simplistic. I remember one of them was, like, a rocket ship, like a NASA shuttle. And literally, like, you flip the NASA shuttle over, and literally his face was on the bottom of the shuttle. And I'm like, so if you're a robot that's trying to disguise yourself, having your face stay on the bottom of the shuttle ain't that much of a camouflage, you know?
It's like standing still, and you hope that you're going visible.
No, it's like, could you picture that shit? Like, you know, NASA's about to launch a rocket and shit. Houston's sitting there like, I don't know, but there's something wrong about that ship. It's got a face on the bottom of it. I don't remember putting that in there.
First of all, how come we have two shuttles, and why does one have a face?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I swear, GoBots were like the flavor aid to Transformers Kool-Aid. Yeah. It wasn't even Wyler's. It was Flavor Aid, yo.
Oh
when you
God.
Went to someone's house and they broke out Flavor Aid, you like, know it was poor shit.
And they were like, oh, we're out of Kool-Aid. Guess we got to go to the backup, bust out the flavor. You're like, nah, I'm good, man. I don't need battery acid in me. So I
won't lie. I had some Flavor Aid. The cherry tastes like damn medicine.
That's what I'm saying. It was fucking battery acid, dude.
Oh, man. So some of these others, 85, 86, spanning 2 years, Teddy Ruxpin.
God. Okay. Best thing ever you could do with the Teddy Ruxpin, put in fucking Guns N' Roses on tape and watch fucking Teddy Ruxpin sing that shit.
That'd be the only thing, is like, just find different things, tapes, or make tapes, or whatever you can, and put it in there and just be like, what the hell are you doing, you know? I, they actually used to sell, I didn't even realize this, they sold adult films that were cassette tapes, and it was basically just talking and moaning.
Really?
But if you think about it, that sounds crazy, right? But consider you have this 1-800 sex lines. So what's
that's
the
true.
Except yeah, this yeah. one, I guess you couldn't interact. 1987, A Kush Ball. I never understood that. Like, I did not care at all about.
I'll put it to you this way. I have some somewhere still.
I mean, it's like one of those things that maybe you picked it up. Like, I remember a long time ago they had those, like, cheap friendship bracelets, but you could find them for $1.
Mm-hmm.
And Kush balls weren't that expensive, but I mean, it says even here in the description, it's a toy ball made of rubber strings. I mean, how much fun can you have with that?
Well, the package that I got, it was essentially like came in with like a book of like how to learn how to juggle. So it was three small ones, and you basically like it taught you how to juggle.
Yeah, I guess. Now, 1988.
Now we're getting into the picture.
Yeah, Nintendo, baby. I remember that. I remember when I got my Nintendo. I actually would rewrap it in its original plastic every night. That didn't last too long, but as a kid, I took care. I treated that better than anything, man.
Yeah.
It lasted better than my pets. It's like, feed the dog, no, but I'll polish this Nintendo.
No, we can't give any food to the dog. It's got to go to the Nintendo.
Yeah. And, of course, 1989, the Game Boy. I remember just whoever had that, it was, like, so cool. It's like, yeah, it had that soup, pea soup green screen, but at the same time, it's handheld. So you could be in school and kids would be playing Tetris and a few other games it had, and it's like, oh, my God, that's awesome. I mean, you had the original one, right?
Yes, I did have an original one. I got the original I had... I think I got the original color. Like, I had pretty much all of them. I think I stopped with the handhelds right when after the DS. Like, the DS was the last Nintendo handheld I had, and I'm at that point where, like, I want to get one of those new 2DS XLs because that thing looks pretty good.
Yeah, and the old Game Boy would have that blur effect when you move. So I remember playing the Super Mario Land.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Like blur when every time you move, I'm like, oh damn, that's really bad.
Well, yeah, I remember, like, the thing that I remember of Super Mario Land was it was hard enough to see the screen when it was sitting still. And then you start moving, it just looked like a blur of gray, and you're like, wait, what the fuck is coming up?
And Super Mario Land, you had those levels where you'd sometimes be in a vehicle. Like, there was a submarine level and an airplane level, so that's all moving. So it's like the extra difficulty was just trying to keep up with the blur.
Yeah.
Now, opening up the 90s, you had a dual winner. You had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Super Nintendo, which, yeah, I definitely agree. You know, I'm really surprised that G.I. Joe didn't come on any of the lists in this first one.
I think, like, because if you look at it, I think the G.I. Joes came out around the same time as, like, the Transformers. Like, that was a big thing. And, like, definitely, I think Transformers was the bigger winner out of those.
Yeah, sci-fi robots transforming, so much to do, where G.I. Joe cartoon was good, but it's still just soldiers shooting laser guns, so.
Yeah. Lasers instead of bullets, baby. You gotta love.
And then if you got hit with the laser, it knocked you out instead of killed you. I don't know what kind of war they were having, because it's funny. The idea was that Cobra was so powerful, you couldn't have the regular military do it. But you sent G.I. Joe in, which used laser guns that didn't kill anybody. You would think that the regular military would kill Cobra in a year or two.
They're like, these guys are bad, but we don't want to kill them. We just want to knock them out.
And let them escape and let them go back to their private island that we could, you know, hit with a couple of Tomahawk missiles or a nuke. But no, we're going to let them sit there until they plan their new attack.
Yeah, let them get pissed off, attack another city. We'll knock them out again.
Maybe that's how Halliburton started. They just needed Cobra to continue operating so they could make more, you know, weapons and stuff for the military-industrial complex that was G.I. Joe. In 1992, you had the Barney doll. I never cared about Barney.
Nope.
I didn't like the show. I didn't like the doll. I didn't care about Barney at all. But it was popular.
And it turns out the guy that was in the suit was a child molester, so it's like...
What, for real?
I think so.
Damn.
I'm pretty sure. Like, he came out after the show ended. And, of course, that's when everybody found out. And they're like, what?
So the dinosaur wasn't the only thing that was purple.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's one that I didn't realize. I was alive and wanting gifts when I was in 1993, the Talk Boy, which I guess it became popular because of Home Alone 2, but I thought it was a recorder. I didn't even realize that it was a Talk Boy. Mm-hmm. But I certainly didn't care about it.
I remember. So that was the thing, is I remember it, like, everybody going crazy of it because of Home Alone 2. Like, because if you look at it, I think it came out in 91, 92. And it was one of those things where, like, it had, like, really mediocre sales. And they're like, we have to do something. And then they put it in the fucking movie, and then all the kids wanted one. Like, it was insane.
94 had the Power Rangers, which was cool. I remember the original Power Rangers with its interesting way to have different groups. You know, the black guy had a black suit. You know?
Asian, the Chinese girl was a fucking Power Ranger.
Yeah, she's in yellow. You had the white girl in pink. So,
the gay guy in blue.
He was gay.
Billy was gay.
Oh, my God.
Not on the show, but in real life. Like,
oh. So it's a subliminal.
It was a subliminal thing. So, funny thing about that, like, I had a good friend of mine whose brother worked at a Toys R Us during the Power Rangers craze. And I remember he used to buy them because, like, they would get the shipments in late at night, and he would work the morning, like, the mornings that they would let the people in. That people would line up to fucking come get these Power Ranger toys. And he had bought, before anybody could, a Green Ranger with the Dragon Dagger and the Dragon Zord, the Green Dragon Zord. He had it, and he kept that shit, like, in his closet. He's like, fuck that, I'm not getting rid of this shit, in the packaging and everything. Lord knows what happened to it. But he was like, dude, when they used to open up to sell that shit, like, they wouldn't even put it on the shelves. They just rolled the pallet with everything on it. Sit it out in the middle of the floor and open the doors and, like, if y'all killed each other over this shit, that's your prerogative. That was literally it, dude. And he's like, bro, you would see these people fucking running down those long ass aisles that Toys R Us used to have. You remember?
Yeah.
They'd fucking clear out the whole aisle. So it was just this, like, alley of death. And then at the end, here's this pallets of Power Rangers stuff. He's like, dude, I saw this one guy fucking just hauling ass down this fucking aisle of death and trip towards the end and just barrel through the fucking pallet and knock the shit everywhere. And, like, the thing that he's like, we're sitting there looking like, fuck, we're going to have to call an ambulance and shit because this guy tripped and all this fucking thing. We're going to have to fill out a report. Yo, this fucking guy dove through this fucking pallet of shit. He was still on the ground, like, grabbing shit. Like, half knocked out, half awake, grabbing shit, just holding on to it like that while he's on the ground.
I'll tell you, since we're at the time now where we have, you know, like, MMA and all that, we should have, like, you know, remember Supermarket Sweep, and they had the one for kids where you'd go and you could win and you'd run through a Toys R Us or, like, a half Toys R Us or something? They need to just have that. Just have something everybody wants, puts it in the middle of, like, a Costco, but clear out the rest of the Costco and just battle royal. You know, you sign a waiver and just...
They already got that shit right now when you look at all the fucking Black Friday videos and fucking people going to, like, Walmart and shit.
Yeah, but this time you make it where it's free if you can grab it. Oh, you sign a waiver. So whatever happens, it's not like Black Friday where the cops get involved. It's like, look, hey, whatever you want.
If that shit were to happen, it's free, someone will die. I mean, they're going to kill them. Like, you will see some woman somewhere take a fucking toaster oven and beat another person to death with it if it were free.
While you're running down the aisles, there's, like, random weapons you can grab if you wish.
Oh, my God, that would be insane.
Oh, man. 95, Beanie Babies, as we talked before.
Mm-hmm.
I remember at some point, there's a friend of mine, she had a whole bunch of them still in the boxes and stuff, but she kept them too long. You know, she was one of those people that knew it would go up in value, but didn't realize that it would eventually lose its value. And I think what happened is after like 5, 6, 7 years, people started like sending them to like Goodwill and like the thrift stores.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden they lost their value. So she had all these pristine Beanie Babies that if she sold them just a few years earlier, could have made thousands of dollars and then ended up with trash. And that's the problem with collecting certain things. You can't always be sure that if you hold it on for 20 years, it's still going to be worth something. It's not like them Star Wars figures.
That's true. Like, what's funny, so this is the thing that, like, now that we mentioned the Beanie Babies, like, I remember one of the big things, like, when Yu-Gi-Oh! Came out, it was one of these things that, like, they used to have in each set, they had that, like, one ultra rare card. And the way you knew it is very, very hard to get. Had that, like, foiled back where the picture of the creature was. And I remember, like, when I worked at GameStop, and at one point they were selling the Yu-Gi-Oh! Expansion things, and they were selling them, I think it was like $2 a pack or something like that, or $1.50 a pack. And I remember, like, we would buy them between, like, me and the other workers, we'd buy them and stuff like that. And I would never forget that the pack set that had the I forgot which one it was, but it had the Lava Golem was the one that was like the big ultra rare in it. And the thing about these ultra rare cards, like, they would sell for like a ton of money because of how hard they were to get. And they were usually, like, the cards that when you watch the TV show, like, those are the ones that Yu-Gi-Oh! Would use, like Pot of Greed and fucking all these, like, crazy cards that were powerful. Like, those were the ultra-rare cards of the set. So they had just put the season on where the Lava Golem was, like, the big monster and all that, and that was the ultra-rare. And we found out that we were not going to be getting any more of the Yu-Gi-Oh! Cards, so once we sold out of the ones we had, that was it. So, like, me and my other coworker, like, we'd buy some. Like, nobody ever came in to buy the card. So, literally, we were the only ones that were buying them. And one night, I was like, well, I got, you know, like, an extra $10. You know, what the fuck? And there was, like, 4 packs left in the thing. So, I said, fuck it. I'll buy the 4 packs. And I'm literally, like, cutting through. It's like, all right. Oh, here's one rare. All right. Nothing made. Go down to the last pack. And I'm cutting through, and I'm going through, and literally the last card in the pack was the Lava Golem, the original lava golem, ultra rare. I look at that shit and, dude, me and my coworker who was into Yu-Gi-Oh, we both flipped the fuck out. We were like, holy shit, because at that time, that lava golem was worth like $500.
Damn.
And I was like, fuck, I just hit the jackpot on this thing. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to sell this. I'm going to fucking sell this. I don't give a shit. Yo, the next fucking day or 2 days later, they announced that they were coming out with the this pack of cards, a set, that it was literally reprints of the most sought-after cards. So literally, in a week time, the value of all these like ultra-rare cards went from up here, like, through the ground. That fucking lava golem, when it was, as soon as it popped up on the list, went from $500 for the card down to like 10. Like, that's how much it depreciated in value. And I'm like, fuck. And it got to a point where, like, at that point, I'm like, if I'm just going to get $10 for this thing, fuck that, I'll keep it. You know?
Yeah.
And, damn. Oh, my God, dude. They destroyed. Like, there were people that were pissed. Like, there were resellers that were so pissed because they're like, dude, they literally destroyed the reseller market.
Oh, yeah, because you had some of those comics and card shops where you'd go there and they'd have these cards in the separate display case, and it's like they'd make money off of that. You get somebody that comes in and they're begging their mom or dad or whatever to buy this expensive card and make money. Shoot, that's so much money that you end up losing.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, for 1996, it was Tickle Me Elmo, and I remember all that craze. What was interesting about that is, to me at least, that was the first time, because even here it talks about sold by scalpers for hundreds of dollars. That was the first time that I actually really saw people buying something that they had no reason for, or buying extra and then selling it because they know they could. I know they probably did that maybe with Cabbage Patch and other things like that, but Tickle Me Elmo, I remember, like, there'd be people hanging out at Toys R Us like drug dealers, and you'd show up and you'd be like, you have Tickle Me Elmo? No, we don't. And then you start to walk away and a guy would be like, hey, you looking for that Tickle Me Elmo? I'll give it to you. $500, and then it's like, what? I mean, they were, and like you said, with altercations, they said that there was lots of altercations of people getting in fights over these things. For a Tickle Me Elmo, it's supposed to be laughing and tickle me, not scalping and killing people in the aisles of Toy Store. So I don't know. I mean, now it's the craze. Now it's like anything that comes out that's even halfway popular, people are going buying 2, 3, 4 of them.
Buddy, so I saw eBay. The fucking NES Mini.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
When I went to get that shit, the NES Classic, there was this husband and wife that were in line up, and that they got one at Target, and originally it was like the husband was just going to get one, and the husband and wife got one, and I went over to Best Buy and sat in line because I didn't get it. Guess who the fuck showed up in the Best Buy line? The fucking same husband and wife. I'm like, these motherfuckers are going to flip these fucking things. And I sat there, and the funny thing is, I mean, knock on wood, I'm hoping for it, but Nintendo done fucked up when they showed the release date for that freaking, the SNES Classic.
Yep.
As soon as I heard it, I'm like, oh, I went to work, and I'm like, I need this day off. And they gave it to me. So I'm like, I'm going to do the same damn thing. I'm going to go over there. And I even told my wife this summer, I'm like, I'm almost tempted to tell you, come with me and fucking buy one too. And we're going to flip that shit. But, I mean, I'm hoping to get one.
Did you ever get into the Tamagotchi thing?
I never got one, but I knew so many people that fucking got those things. And it was, like, the most, it was a ridiculous little thing. And how it became this, like, crazy-ass, like, craze is beyond me. But it was everywhere you went, Tamagotchi, Tamagotchi.
And what was cool is that you could have it on your keychain, so it wasn't like it's this huge thing. It was basically like a really small device, and it was basically the same kind of graphics that you would see in the old Game & Watches. You know, it's just little lines, or the Tiger handheld games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I was thinking about that. You know, this pet, it started out as an egg, and you had to do things, you know, to raise it. And then when you raised it, there were things like feeding it and things like that. And I'm like, you know what? That makes me think about the difference between kids now and back then. think about it. Nowadays, kids want things in 10 seconds. They have no patience. They're not going to wait. In 1997, yeah, you still had impatient kids, but they were willing to take the time to hatch and raise these pets. That would never work nowadays, man. Kids don't have that kind of patience.
What's funny as shit is I had a friend of mine that he had one. And I remember, like, he had it for a bit and whatever and played with it. And he sat there, like, after he was, like, kind of got bored with it, he just sat it down. And I remember he remembers, like, after, like, 2 months or something like that, like, finding it and going, oh, shit, I forgot I had this. And he hit it, his fucking, it just showed his little pet with two X's over the eyes and shit. It was dead.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I guess this thing does die.
You know what would have been great if that somehow it could transmit back to the factory whenever it dies, and then we could get like a list of how many of those died and when. Because you know at a certain year and month, that's when kids just stop playing with them like in mass, and all of a sudden it's like the death rate goes up. It's like, damn.
We had a mass sacrifice of Tamagotchis.
Oh, man. So in 1998, there was another one that I didn't care about. That Furby electronic toy.
God, I remember the Furbies, and I remember my brother's friend got a hold of like three of them. So it's like funny because his kid wanted one. And he was like, he tells his wife, he's like, I gotta go out and I gotta buy these fucking things. Like, I gotta buy this thing for my kid. And he went and he hit up three different stores because they were only allowing like one per customer. And he bought three because he was like, just in case it doesn't work when we turn this thing on, I want to make sure he has a working one. And he's like, yo, we opened the first one up, boom, it worked. He was like, fuck it, I have two. He literally paid for his entire Christmas expenditure with those two Furbies that he sold. Like, literally.
Oh, yeah, they're saying here, they skyrocketed to be sold as much 300.
Yeah. He literally paid for his entire Christmas gifts just with the two extra Furbies that he had that were a just in case the first one doesn't work. And I was like, that's freaking insane, dude.
That is insane. In 1999, you had Pokemon, and basically covered everything. Toys, mm-hmm. cards, games. I mean, they said that up to 2013, it was a $4 trillion in worldwide sales. So, I mean, by now, that's just one of those things. And this is, you know, long before Pokemon Go and all that other stuff. They've had so many incarnations of the anime cartoons, so many different games that came out for Game Boy, then DS. It's like, dude, that's still making bank.
The funny thing about Pokemon is it's literally the same game every single
time. Yeah. I mean, because you think about it, it's really easy. You just think of an animal and then mix it with something, like an element or something, you know, and then, oh, look, I have Iron Eagle.
And let's face facts. Literally, Pokemon is a world that is okay with legalized cockfighting and kicking a kid out at 13 years old because I'm going to be a cockfighter.
Yeah.
That's literally what Pokemon is.
Even earlier than that, some of those kids look super young, and it's like, hi, Mom, I'm going off on my Pokemon journey. All right, bye, son. And you're just walking through woods and stuff, getting attacked by beasts. Old people meeting you, hey, son, how you doing? Would you like my Pokemon? Sure. Well, you have to battle me first. It's like, what kind of world is this that we live in?
It's what would happen if there was legal cockfighting in this world.
Yeah, then trapping the poor animals inside those worlds. Yeah.
Oh, I still say the best thing I ever showed, like, what it's like inside of a Pokeball was the fucking thing that Robot Chicken did.
Yeah.
If you ever did see it, that was fucking hilarious.
In 2000, you had the Razor Scooter. I actually do remember that.
You know,
which is really, if you think about it, it's just the old-fashioned scooter. Like, remember in Back to the Future? They showed Marty break off. It was, like, basically a peach basket on top of, like, a little... And I don't know. I actually have to go check, but I think that's actually how skateboards came about. Because it was a scooter first, and the idea was it would be too hard to balance on top of just this piece of wood with wheels. And then someone's like, wait a minute. Okay, yes, it's harder, but it'll be more fun. So they took off the basket or any pipe that you could hold on to with handlebars, and now you had skateboards, and then that blew up as well. So I don't think I ever got a Razor scooter, but
me neither.
I wanted one. But, you know, 2001 Bratz, which was I guess this was kind of supposed to be like Generation X meets women's empowerment.
it was the resurgence of the Barbie era, if you remember, but they didn't want to do the whole like Barbie thing, so they did like, oh, let's do it with like teenagers and blah blah blah, because that was the big thing, is if you remember, Barbie was essentially a full grown woman, and then you had, and then like the Bratz was, oh, it was kids in high school and blah blah blah.
And apparently parents were concerned because they were dressed provocatively. So I guess some of them were showing midriffs tight clothing, and it's like, okay.
any more and it would have been renamed Hose. All right? Like, like that was literally – they drew a fine line. I'm pretty sure that name came up in the boardroom somewhere. How about we call them Hose? And someone's like, no, I don't want to go that bad.
We'll put a Z on it. I'll be hip and cool.
Yeah. They're like, I like where you think it's going, Jerry, but no.
Oh, man. 2002 Beyblades. I have no idea what that is.
So I remember Beyblades. So Beyblades was – it was essentially, if you looked at it, it looks just like that picture that you have there. So it was almost like a top that had this plastic upper part that the top part of the spinner had these little extra, like, arms that stuck out of it. So what you would do is you would sit it down on top. You had like a almost like a plastic thing gear, like you had little teeth. You'd slide that through, and then you'd hold on to the base, and you'd pull it, and it would basically spin that thing. So the whole idea of it was is they had different creatures, and they were the tops. And the different creatures had different configurations of how those little like things that stuck out. So they used to sell, like, different ones of those. So it was almost like Yu-Gi-Oh! In the sense where you had, the things. And then they would have this, like, arena that they would sell that was a plastic. And it was basically a bowl if you looked at it. So what you did is you sat on one side. Your other friend would sit on the other side. And you would pull this thing and crank it down and drop it on your side of the bowl. And they would start spinning. And then it would basically start spinning down towards the center of the bowl. Until eventually, like, they came close to one another and they would clash. So the thing about it was is that when you were playing it, sitting on the one side of the bowl, as they were coming together, they were basically spinning in opposite directions. So what would happen was, because you had two different colored handles, one spun it one way, the other one spun it the other way. And you had specific Beyblades for each of the handles, so that way they would spin right. So the way that the game worked is you would have to spin down, and once they would clash, whoever's top would stop spinning first, they lost.
Okay,
so
I get
that. That was the whole thing, and it was the typical, like, they had a TV show like Yu-Gi-Oh and shit like that, where that's where they pushed all that stuff.
And just think, tops have been around for ages. And then in 2002, they come out with like a hip sci-fi version of the top, and it says it was one of the most popular toy lines in the world from 2000 to 2005.
Yeah, it was crazy. They would have fucking tournaments of that stuff.
Damn. 2004, Robo Sapien. I remember that, and I remember they also had like the robot dog.
Oh, that's right.
It was everything about robots. It's funny because I was thinking about that. Remember when they came out with Robbie the Robot for the NES?
Oh, my
but
God, yes.
It didn't really sell. Some people liked it, but it didn't catch on. If it came out during the whole robot craze of 2003 to 2005, maybe it would have sold more. But I remember that. The robot wouldn't even do much of anything. And it's kind of funny. It reminded me, I don't know, Fox Football. Remember when Fox Football had – they still have it, the logo, the football robot. That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah,
it would, like, dance and spike the football. Basically, that's all RoboSapien would do is, like, dance and do stuff like that. There wasn't much to it. It was like a doll, but, you know.
And here we go. The era of the video games for 4 years.
Yeah, that's what's crazy. 2005, Xbox 360. 2006, PlayStation 3. 2007, Nintendo DS. 2008, Nintendo Wii. I remember the Wii because that was really the first time that Nintendo started playing that. We're not going to sell that many units, and we're going to pretend like it's because we're on low stock when you know they have more. but they wanted to drive up that demand. They didn't do that with the NES, Super NES. I never had a problem getting it, even when it first came out. But the Wii, that was the first one that was hard to get.
The thing I remember about the Wii, that it was, like, it was the system seller for it, is, like, when Nintendo started talking about the Wii, everybody was wondering, what the fuck are they going to do? What the fuck are they going to do? What the hell are they going to do? Is it going to be, like, you know, the N64, blah, blah, blah. And then once they started, like, spoon feeding us little by little information, it's just like they're like, hey, here's this big pile of hype, let's throw that onto the fire, come on. And I remember, like, when they first showed the controller, everybody just looked at it like, hey, what the fucking fuck is that? And then they started like, this is the controller, and this is the little motion sensor bar, and everyone's like, whoa, what do you mean motion sensor bar? You know, and then they, like, when they first showed off gameplay with it, where you're sitting there swinging this shit around, that everybody was like, you mean you interact with the game itself? That, like, blew, fucking people's minds got blown by that. And the thing that I laughed about the Nintendo Wii, like, that was one of those ideas that was so wild, but at the same time, they had no idea if it was going to be a hit or not. And that was like a double-edged sword that Nintendo was willing to, like, put the whole fucking, like, they went to the roulette table and said, fuck it, we're betting $1 million on 23. And it was like, and I remember the first time I got it, I felt weird, like, I don't know how this will do it. And then, like, you had games like the Zelda and all that you would swing the Wiimote and it would swing his sword. And that was like the moment I did that, I'm like, all right, I'm fucking sold on the system. Like, that was the thing that got people, like, into this damn system. And man, I'll never forget, like, I was working at GameStop when that thing came out, and bro, it drove people nuts over that fucking system.
I think that what was amazing about it was that was one of the systems I remember PlayStation came out with their terrible wannabe version of it. It was one of those things where they underestimated how lazy people are, because a lot of people found out just how out of shape they are when they start playing the Wii. Because they're like, oh, you just swing your arms or move your arms or dance a little? I could do that. And then you get a bunch of friends together and you started playing one of those dance games and you realize how tired you got after 5 minutes of dancing. And then you start looking around and you feel embarrassed, but all your other friends are breathing heavy too. And it's like, yeah, we're a bunch of lazy fat fucks.
Come on now.
Do this shit.
Come on now. Fucking how many news stories do you remember reading of kids going to the doctor with Wii elbow?
Oh, yeah.
And it threw me back to the days of, like, oh, man, it's the Nintendo thumb all over again. I'll never forget it. Now, if there's something that I'll never forget working at a GameStop, I remember I was a store manager of a GameStop, and get on that week's conference call. The district manager's like, hey, just FYI, you're getting 10 Nintendo Wiis to sell tomorrow. I'm like, cool. Of course, is everything new? Word gets out. Oh, each place is going to get so many. And that's that. So sure enough, when I go into the next morning at 7 o'clock in the morning, I got a line of people waiting out in front of my store. But I don't have, like, an exact line of people. I have a group of people sitting out in front of my store. Had no idea what order they came to the store. Now, what was really funny about it is my store was right on the edge of Hialeah and, like, near Overtown. Oh. So I get there, and they're like, oh, you know, you're here for the Wii? I'm like, no, I'm actually the store manager. Like, oh, how many did you get? I'm like, I got enough. And I'm like, I start counting, and I see how many people are there. I had 12 people there. I said, hey, just FYI, I only have 10 systems. So two of you are not going to get any. I said, what I need done right now is I need you guys to line up in a line from who got here first to who got here last. And just to let you guys know, I only have 10. So line starts forming, and obviously one dude who came in later, who is probably not going to get one, just starts jumping the line. And here starts the argument outside my store. Oh, no, he wasn't here. No, I was here. Da, 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 da. And I'm, like, listening to this go down. And I'm like, okay, the fists are going to start fighting. And literally, I fucking sat there, and I mean, I shit you not, like, I wasn't going to have it that day. I said, hey, either y'all come to an agreement on who's in what place in this line, or I ain't selling a single one of these things. I'll hold on to those 10 weeks. I don't give a damn. And all of a sudden, everybody just went, and that line formed like that. That dude just went, fuck it, turn around and walk the fuck away.
It's like children. Yeah. You're like, no one's going to get no cookies if you don't line up in the ordering fashion.
It was so funny because I was like, fuck that. I'm not going to deal with these people fighting in front of my store. I ain't calling the cops out here over some fucking people getting into a fight. And I'm not going to fill out the paperwork and shit. I said, fuck it. I said, either y'all get come into agreement for a line or I ain't selling nothing. I'm like, I'll keep my store closed. I don't give a shit. But, yeah.
2009 had a Zuzu Pets.
I don't even know about that shit.
I don't remember that either. Basically, they were robot plush toys. Yeah, I like that name better. Go-Go Hamster sound cool. I guess what happened is the Robo Sapien was a little bit too realistic, so they had to put fur on it because it freaked people out.
Want to freak out a cat and run all those things around the house.
So then we go back into more electronic goodness. With 2010, you had the iPad. And 2011, you had the Leap Pad. And I remember that. And I realize now that I look at just the fact that one was popular one year and one was popular next year, this is probably what happened. You bought one of those iPads for like $600, and your kid wanted to play with it. And then your kid dropped that motherfucker. And then you're like, oh, hell no. So LeapPad was like, we're going to come out with this industrial strength plastic version of an iPad that just has, like, you know, child-safe games on it so that the adults can have this expensive thing that you must take care of, and the kids can throw around this this weaker toy. That was before most tablets became like $50 and you didn't really care anymore.
Ooh, the Wii U in 2012,
yeah. That was them trying to make, I guess, a comeback. And I thought it was good, but the problem is that by then you had better major consoles. You still had the Microsoft versus Sony wars. Plus you had the DS, which was really good for handheld. So all of a sudden you had this device that, sure, if you had to take a shit, you could keep playing when you go to the bathroom. But that was probably about the only thing that was really cool about it.
I think where the big miss on the Wii U came was, yes, it was a little bit more powerful than the Wii, but not like enough to be like, oh, I got a Wii, let me get a Wii U. Because in reality, when you jumped up to the Wii U, you were just getting a little bit better performance out of the Wii. Yes, it didn't output finally into high def. And then you had that tablet thing. But the, like, really fucked up thing when you looked at it, like, you had the one tablet that came when you bought the Wii U, and if you were like, ooh, I want to get a second one, it's like, yeah, you got to drop essentially was the cost of a Nintendo DS. And people were just like, nah, I'm good. I'll keep the one that I got, you know?
Yeah, like, so you ended up with those games where it's like, oh, well, you can control part of it, and then you – and here's the thing that sucked even worse. I liked the idea of, in some games, one person would play on the handheld and the other person would play on the television. But normally, this would be where all of a sudden the handheld became worse because the secondary game on the handheld usually was terrible. It's like you would run and it's like, oh, maybe you hit this door or hit this button. But it was nothing like how the game – the person playing the main game on a computer. So it's almost like back in the days of Sonic 2 – when you could pick up the second controller and control Tails, but not really because, you know, you would get killed like every 5 seconds and have to wait till he comes floating back in. It was like a second-class citizen playing the version of the handheld.
This almost reminded me of, I remember back in the day of the GameCube, they came out with, I think it was called like Pac-Man Champions or something like that. And it was essentially, you would use it on the GameCube, and if you had a Game Boy Advance with that little cable that could connect to the GameCube and connect to the Game Boy Advance, you could play a mode where three people would control the ghosts, and then the one person playing as Pac-Man played on the Game Boy Advance. So they would go around the maze eating, and you would only see so much of the maze around you. And then the other three people would look at the TV, and they could see the whole maze, and they'd go around as the ghost trying to trap Pac-Man. So that kind of like reminded me of like what you say with that, but like that was, you could see like they were starting to like come up with these ideas way back when.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You look at some of even the, there's this great website that shows like Nintendo before they started making arcade games and like the first NES and what they came up with. And it was interesting to see, like, you could see that progression to where they got and then where we are today now with the Switch. In 2013, Elmo made a return. It was like the revenge of Elmo. This time, instead of tickling you, he wants to give you a big hug. It doesn't talk about scalpers or fights, so I guess this one wasn't as crazy by then. 2014, it was another doll-like thing. Elsa, I have no... Oh, it's from Frozen. Okay.
Frozen.
This is where movies started being the main pusher of toys for kids, because everyone was so much into video games by this time. The only way to really get someone to buy a toy was attach it to a movie, which brings us to 2015 with the BB-8. As soon as I saw it in the previews, I was like, oh, that's the character that's supposed to sell toys. Like, I knew it. I'm like, oh, it rolls. It makes cute noises.
As a matter of fact, you can still buy those damn things if you go into an Apple store. They have the freaking little BB-8 Spiros.
Now, what's funny is that you've already seen, like, even a pattern here where, you know, Elmo makes a return. You start to have a couple of dolls come back. Remember we were talking about the Tamagotchi?
Mm-hmm.
In 2016... It was a tie, but one of them was those Hatchimals, which it was basically the same thing. It's just a more advanced version of the Tamagotchi.
If there is one thing that I lost count of how many freaking news stories they had of those people that they were buying the Hatchimals from the toy stores, and then they were broken, like they'd never hatch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. They showed this dude that, like, he was just talking to the news people. And you could see this dude just losing his shit. Because he's like, do you understand? I stood in line for 4 hours to get my kid this toy. And she's sitting there coddling it for 6 days and it hasn't hatched. And we thought, like, maybe it takes a little while. And we realized, like, it was supposed to happen within a day. I mean, this guy was just, like, you could see his fucking neck started turning red. And it was just going up his face. I was like.
Put in time.
Like, I was just, like, looking at this, like, this guy's going to fucking go off on this news reporter. Like, he's going to kill somebody.
And, of course, tied with that was the NES Classic Mini, which, yes! You know, we know the story of that.
I was able to get that one. I will honestly say, when I went out to get it, I did not think I was going to get one. Honestly didn't think I was going to get one. Reason being is, like, I literally, when I was like, oh, I could go to the Target, and I went out there, like, seeing how many people there were, I thought, like, oh, maybe there's a chance. Maybe it's not that many people are interested in it. And, like, forgot to realize that it was a fucking holiday day, so there was a lot more people not going to work than I thought they were. And then when I found out, like, oh shit, I ain't getting it from Target. And then I'm like, oh wait, there's a Best Buy, like, right over there. Let me go over there. And I sat out there, and then the little thing that put the seed of doubt in my mind was the fact that the guy, when he was letting out the Geek Squad guys to go to their on-site, he, like, looks at the line of people and goes, what the hell are y'all doing out here for? And we're like, the NES Classic Mini? And he would kind of, like, just... Oh, okay. And he, like, closes the door. I'm like, they don't fucking have any. And then, like, 20 minutes later, he busts out with the papers. And I'm like, oh, okay, good. We're going to get some. That means he ran inside and going, get those fucking NES Mini Classics out here.
Get the pallet. So I guess we'll have to wait to see what ends up being the premier toy this year.
I'm putting my money on this SNES Mini Classic. That and the Switch. That and the Switch, or the Switch, are going to be the two, I think.
Nintendo owning it again, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, people make fun of them if you're one of those fanboys of Microsoft or of Sony, but Nintendo, man, they know what to do. They know their market. The younger people mix with the older people, man. It's almost like the Harry Potter model. You think, like, oh, it's for kids, and then you start playing, and you're like, I love this shit.
It's the fucking Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go, and they're like, oh, they're going to be kids playing, and fucking, who are the biggest zombies you saw walking down the streets? Fucking adults, like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
The funniest thing is when you would hear parents say, oh, I need to go out and capture a couple of pets for, you know, Pokemon for my kids. I'm like, damn, they got you like that? You know,
no, two favorite things I saw at Pokemon Go, the dude that fucking put a little like almost a little mount on one of his chickens and put his phone on it, and he'd have the chicken running around the yard to hatch his eggs for him, which was funny as fuck, having a chicken run around the yard to hatch eggs. And the other one was, there was one of these fucking fools from YouTube that went to like a Comic-Con in New York or some shit like that, and just fucking like, he's like, watch this, steps back from the camera and goes, oh my god, there's an, and I don't remember the name of the rare Pokemon, but he's like, there's a blah 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 in the park, oh my god. Dude, literally, there must have been like 200 people behind him. They all just stood the fuck up and moved as a crowd. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, that was hilarious.
Oh my god. Alright, you know what time it is, right?
Yeah, it's about that we ran about 45 minutes longer than our 15-minute window.
That's fine, but before we go, you know what we got to bring you.
Oh, the clickbait of the week.
That's right. Let's get to the clickbait.
We're going to have to do like a little like theme song thing for that. Play it like right before we go into it. The clickbait of the week.
I think I can come up with something.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, get in there and talk about www.com, and you got them naked chicks on there, man. You go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
So this one comes from the UK, from the Daily Star website. And this is funny because you and I, Randy, have talked about this a lot, and it's basically how some of these people who I don't know if you say that they're not gamers or not, because I guess if they like playing games and they actually play games, they're gamers. But the idea is that these ladies know how to get us guys by doing all types of sexy things, wearing bikinis, showing a lot of cleavage, things like that. However, this one talks about sexiest gamers revealed, boobalicious babes who risk getting banned for X-rated videos. And I love the subtitle where it says, boobs, bums, and camel toes aren't what a lot of people associate with gaming, but maybe they should. And basically what this article shows, and we'll show you the pictures in the video, is that some of these people accidentally show a little bit more than they should. So, I mean, like, if some people complain enough that if they're showing off their boobs with, you know, cleavage or bikinis or tight-fitting clothing, that's one thing. But a bunch of these streamers supposedly had, like, the equivalent of nip slips or what we call the Britney Spears, the crotch shot. Did you get to see any of these videos? Like, I love the first one where it's like, accidentally gives you a crotch shot, and it's like, I don't know. Do you think any of these are accidents?
Like, the funny thing is, like, the first one I had heard about that she was like, oh, blah, 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 like, she started doing the whole story of, like, oh, it was by mistake, like, because I think, like, I don't remember if it was, like, something that she had done, something that she had, like, either, like, fractured her ankle or twisted her ankle real bad, and she was, like, on painkillers or some shit like that. So, like, you can kind of even, like, if you look at the video and you pay attention, she kind of, like, seems out of it.
Yeah.
You know? And then that was, like, the whole thing where she sat there and was like, oh, no, no. And she got up and, like, flashed the camera. And she was like, oh, I completely, like, forgot that I wasn't wearing any underwear. Da, da, da. So it was, like, one of these things of, like, oh, okay. Like, did she, was that real? Was that fake? Da, 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 you know? So...
it kind of looked, I admit, it was one of the better ones because she stands up and it looks like she's just reaching for something. It wasn't kind of like normally when someone looks like they're really trying to do it. So if she did it on purpose, it was a pretty good act because it looked like an accident. Still, it wasn't. Right. I mean, the other person, the other two were basically, you know, they already have these really tight fitting bras or whatever they're wearing, sports bras, regular bras, bikini bras, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I showed a little boob. It's like, you gotta wonder, is that gonna get you more hits? Because they're all, I mean, they said these people already had a big fan base, and you're sitting there and you're already basically in a bikini. Do you have to go that extra step? Maybe you do. Maybe we want that. I don't know. I guess in the comments you guys can tell us. Like, do you like the mystery of that it's right there but not quite X-rated, or do you need the whole X? I mean, one X should be enough.
That's true. But, like, so, like, the thing that's funny is, like, the ones that they show here. So the First girl, yeah, like the gamer girl Leah, like that was the one that's just it. Then the other girl, the one underneath that girl, yeah, is I forgot her name. Pink Sparkles. Now,
yeah,
that girl, like, what's hilarious is, like, there have been people for the longest time, like, calling her out, like, dude, she's a Twitch whore. Because, like, literally, it's the typical, like, three quarters of the screen is her, and then the little tiny thing of her playing Overwatch is what it is. And then, like, she'll go to, like, things where she'll do that. And it's like, you look at her videos and you're like, oh my god, like, really, you're doing this shit? Like, and then what's hilarious is, like, you literally, like, watch it and you just see the donations just boom, 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 boom. And it's like, are you fucking kidding
me? Yeah, and they start with $5, and then there's things like the other lady here had where she had a private Snapchat and things like that. So it stretches out. Yeah.
Zoe Berger was the one that she literally got banned off of Twitch and went to YouTube because of it. And she had, like, I remember when that happened, that she got kicked off and got put onto YouTube. I remember this, like, article came out that she sat there and said, like, I want to hit 1 million subscribers as fast as possible. And if I do that, I will release nude photos of myself. And I remember reading the article, and, like, the guy that wrote this editorial was like, so when does it, like, cross that line into you're essentially a prostitute because you're trying to get these people to subscribe to your channel so that they can see naked pictures of you? So essentially they're giving you money and you're giving them naked pictures. You know, so it was like, and I'm like, and the way that he wrote it, I was sitting there going, like, the guy makes a good fucking point. Like,
yeah,
when do you cross that line? I'm looking at here. So the next chick, Alinity.
Oh, yeah, that one was great because I love how it says here. First of all, she had over 400,000 people tune in. Do you know that there's TV shows? Now, not on prime time, like not on the broadcast channels, but there's TV shows on cable that don't get those numbers. Yeah. This lady was getting those numbers to her Twitch broadcast. And apparently what happened in this instance is she was just trying to explain to the her audience to be able to tell when women were wearing a push-up bra, which I guess that's really important to know. Mm-hmm. And she almost exposed her own breasts. And it's like,
that's funny.
Okay. I guess she had to, like, give you a visual to help you understand what she's trying to explain to her 99.9% male fan base.
The thing that's funny is, like, so I saw a clip and it was in one of those, like, Twitch stream fail ones. That was of her. That was hilarious. Is so, like, if you see in the in that video that's linked in there, like, her cat's in the background or whatever. So apparently in the video she's wearing this, like, one piece black dress, but it's like a short skirt dress, and she was putting something together. And she sits there and she's like, "Oh, I'm gonna have to go get something." And what's hilarious is, like, she goes to stand up and you can see, like, the cat walks behind her. And she goes to get up, and she literally does one of these and turns around. And just as she turns like this, like, literally the bottom of the skirt kicks up over her hip. And literally, like, all you see is her ass. Like, just straight up ass, like, as if she wasn't wearing any underwear. Right? But apparently she was wearing a thong. And it's hilarious because then the clip jumps back to her sitting down. Because, like, when it happens, she kind of, like, realizes, like, something strange. She kind of turns around and she, like, pushes down, like to feel if her dress is there. And she's like, "Did you just, like, grab onto my dress?" To the cat, right? And then she walks out of the room. So then, like, the clip jumps to a picture of her, and she's like, "Okay, so the only reason why I'm wearing a thong is because it's, like, laundry day and blah blah blah." And I'm like, "Sure, it's because it's laundry day."
Damn, know? Molesting cats.
Yeah, but it was like I was sitting there going, "Jesus, dude, that is hilarious!" Like. That just so happened. That was, and of course, I'm sure, like, there were people watching the stream, and the moment it happened, like, the clips of that just, like, jumped online like crazy.
Well, that cat helped make her probably, like, $10,000.
The best one that I laughed at was, like, what I crack up about the YouTube channel that does the Twitch stream fails is they'll show, like, the clickbait one, which is usually what they put in for their thumbnail. And it's this one of one of these, like, girl, like, Twitch whores. and all of a sudden, like, she's sitting there chatting away and blah, 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 and all of a sudden, like, you see her talking to, like, her dog, and she's like, damn it. She's like, damn it, let go of my slippers. So she does one of these, stands up and turns around, and she's wearing essentially yoga pants, right? And it's hilarious because she's standing there. All you literally see is her butt as she's yelling at the dog, and you hear people that I guess are in her Discord channel, and like one of the dudes is like, yo, that dog's doing God's work right now, man. Somebody get that dog a biscuit. You hear all these guys just chatting away. And then like you realize she doesn't hear any of this because she doesn't have her headset on. And then she kind of like, when she turns around, sits back down and puts the headset on, she kind of like catches the tail end of like what the people are saying. She's like, wait, what? And like literally people are putting that same quote in her Twitch chat. So it's funny as shit. Those people are like, that god is a, that dog is a, is a, is the man, blah, blah, blah. It was so freaking funny, dude.
I love the last one, Knee Coleslaw, where she didn't actually get banned for her wardrobe malfunction.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, she was doing some kind of dance or something, and, you know, you got to see, like, the outline of herself because of her outfit. But I love at the end it says that Twitch shut down her channel after she filmed herself appearing to strangle her own cat.
That's funny.
I mean, what? Which cat? No, okay. I had that. So but funny. Yeah, I mean, you think that if you're getting all those hits, you're getting all those visitors, making all that money, there's no reason to go that extra mile. I can see if it's one of those things where it's sweep week, and you're like, wait a minute, I need a season finale that's going to really kick. But if you're making all this money, why risk losing it? It's like, I don't get it. And why do we as guys keep falling for this shit? With all the stuff there is out there, we're throwing away our money to that's, these people. Yeah,
that's the thing that, like, if you sit there and you look at it, it's like, they, I think the reason why they do it more and more and more is because they start to realize, like, wait a minute, the more I kind of, like, do, the more money these guys are sitting there throwing at me. And, those are the type of things that they sit there and they try to, like, they push, like, how far can I go before my account gets blocked, you know what I mean? Yeah. But it's hilarious. Like I said, that freaking, that one, I think, as a matter of fact, now that you say that, I think, shit, now that you say that, I think, yeah, Nicole Slaw was the one that I was telling you, remember that, my friend was saying that he was watching her play League of Legends at Sona, and she was fucking, like, the worst Sona he had ever seen. That was her. And he's watching it, and it was that typical, like, three-quarters of the screen was her, and then, like, the little tiny thing of was a thing. And, like, it was so funny. He's like, I could barely see what she's doing because of how small she's got the fucking screen. And he's like, he literally was saying, like, I have to, like, lean into the corner to see what the hell she's doing because it was so small. You know, and he's like, Jesus Christ. And he commented, he was like, bro, he's freaking sitting there, like, just watching the donations, just boom, 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 boom. And it's like, good God, man, it's amazing. Like, I remember seeing, I don't remember which one of these girls it was, but there was one of these that they're like, somebody wrote an article about it, how they talked about how, like, she needed to get a new gaming PC, or she was in the market to do it. And she sat there and finally said, like, all right, I'm going to see if, like, I can raise the money in a week. I want to try and do it. So she set a goal of, I want to try and do it in a week. This chick literally did it in a weekend. And when we're talking about a weekend, enough money for a computer, like, she set the goal at, like, $6,000, which is, like, not so, like, that's not a lot for a gaming PC, like, from one of these pre-things. I think she ended up in the weekend raising something like fucking, I think it was like $10,000 or something like that. So, like, by Sunday, she was just like, oh, my God, guys, thanks a lot, and da-da-da. And, like, the guy that wrote the article was like, I can't fucking believe that many people fucking, you know, sat there and gave this bitch that much money.
Here's my question. Where are you sex-deprived motherfuckers getting all this disposable money?
It's like, Jesus.
And dude, why ain't you giving us any?
Yeah, I was about to say.
No, I know why. You don't have to answer that.
You know what it is? Like, I got to get a boob job or something and start wearing some, like, low-cut shirts or some shit. I don't know.
You know, I always wondered. I don't know if this would be insensitive. If it is, I apologize ahead of time. But what if someone's, like, transgendered and their face has more masculine features, but they have a great rack? What if then all of a sudden you would just show just the rack? So in your case, you get a boob job, really, really good one, and then all we'll do is just show your neck to your boobs. But we'll still hear you talking. It'll be like Dr. Gold, Dr. Girlfriend in the Venture Brothers.
Yeah.
I bet people will still buy.
That's just
They're like, man, that chick's got a deep-ass voice, but that rack is primo.
God, I'll never forget that shit. That was a great show.
All right, well, yes, I was trying to do a shorter show because everyone says that shorter shows are better, more people will watch it, and more people will be in tune. But hey, look, we have fun. So we do appreciate you guys watching. We do appreciate you guys leaving comments, whether it's good or bad, and of course, subscribing to our channel because we're never going to be that big, but we're here for you. That's what we do.
We're gonna, like, you know, I almost got an idea, like, for our new show. We ought to do just the clickbait channel.
Yeah, seriously.
That's the name of the show, the clickbait channel. Just do nothing but freaking clickbait stories. We'll probably get more hits than this and Geek Salad combined.
Here's what we'll do, okay? Of course, we want interaction. We don't care if you say you don't like this, you don't like it. Look, it's the internet, we know. But if you would like us to do a show where we scour the internet for these clicky bait type of stories so that, yes, you can hear us talk about it, but at the same time, you can look at all the nice stuff that we found, let us know. And then we'll put together a show. But we want you to do it because, you know, it takes – we're busy people. So it takes a lot to put together these shows.
We got shit to do.
Yeah, we know you watch the clickbait stuff. So if you really want a show of clickbait, comment and tell us, and we'll put something together for you. Sounds fair? That sounds fair.
That'll work.
All right.
Or something, well, that'll be another show we have to film, but it's all right. We can do it. We're here for you guys.
That's right. But for now, we're going to end the show. And like again, I said, thanks for watching us. Thanks for commenting. But until next time, I'm J.A. He's Randy.
Peace.